Hi, hello again, everybody, and welcome into another edition. That's right, it's Wednesday. You know what that means. It's time for another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. This one, episode 24, titled McDowell Masterpiece. And I got to warn you, I'm a little sleep deprived, which means I'm going to be a hoot, and I'm down for anything that is hoot that involves me. And I can't have a hoot alone, at least for the next hour. So let's bring in the best man, the senior open wheel guru, the illegal pig maker himself. Colin Best, come on in here.
A legal pick maker. Well, that's fine. You know, we all make mistakes, and I plan to appeal to the board just like Hendrick Motorsports does. But unlike Hendrick Motorsports, I don't have a lot of money, which means I'm never going to win my appeals. So we'll just move on from this. We'll move on from this challenge that we find ourselves in, and we'll hope to make a late season push as we're now down towards the bottom. But hey, you know, you never count out anybody, and look where I'm at. You never like the O's. They sucked for years, and now they're great. They're beautiful. It's an amazing team, and you just hate to see it. But at least I'm not alone in the illegal picks. Peggy did get involved as well. So, you know, I guess what you can say on her part is, I guess cheaters never prosper. You know, even though she is probably leading the stands one or two or so, she's not perfect either. So, you know, It's one of those things.
Look, some of us are natural-born winners. And speaking of natural-born winners, and I'm not talking about myself, but it's true, let's bring in the man himself. He's back. He's had all the tortellini and pizza he can possibly stand. He has returned to the North American continent. Let's bring him in. Canadian Adam Carabine. Welcome home, prodigal son. Come on in here.
Hello. It's good to be back. Or should I say ciao. Welcome me home. Thanks, guys. And actually, I wouldn't say that I've eaten all the tortellini and pizza I could eat, because I miss it already. I could go back and eat a whole lot more Italian food. So much better than what we've got over here in North America. But yes, it's great to be back. I have missed you guys. I've missed doing the show, and I have missed NASCAR. I was hoping to be able to watch some while I was over there, and I had some real difficulties doing that. So I came back on Sunday and I binged three NASCAR races, which was intense. Yeah, I was getting over my jet lag and watching three NASCAR races in a row. So I'm all caught up. I caught some of our shows over the last couple of weeks. Thanks for holding down the fort, and excited to get going again here today.
Well, that's why I wear this fat suit 24/7, is because I hold down the fort so well. I mean, if I didn't do it, then who would? It's me and Ryan Newman. Anywho, Peggy is off this week. She's in beautiful Viva Las Vegas. But for kayfabe purposes, she was suspended for a week for illegal pickage. Turns out it was a whole conspiracy. It was a fake pick scheme, if you will.
It wasn't entirely their fault. You know, the guy with the list of who has picked what this year was away and did not provide significant or, you know, enough info. So it was an honest mistake, and we rectified it. We'll get to that when we get to our racing refresh picks later today.
You can't play along for beans. Can you tell it's going to be an interesting show, folks?
I think so, yeah.
All right, Colin, are you buckled in and ready for a sleep-deprived Logandy session?
I'm buckled in, extender buckled in, whatever you want to call it.
I need an extender on those damn airplanes. Ain't no doubt about it. I've had too much tortellini. All right. We got a show to do. So you know what that means? It's time for our weekend review. Hit the button, buddy. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're making Peggy look like a poser.
Well, you gave me a good lead in there. I was ready for it. So.
Like, that's what I do for a living, brother. I make everybody better around me. Thanks, buddy.
Save some for yourself, right?
I did not invent piss and vinegar, but I have perfected it. Anywho. All right. Truck Series. Ty Majeski got the first win of the playoffs. That's right. The season is moving so quickly, boys and girls. We're already at the first race of the NASCAR Truck Series playoffs, and there's only two to go in the Cup regular season. I mean, we are getting down to the nitty-gritty dirt band of it all. Ty Majeski gets it done. Does this launch him into any sort of favorite spot for either one of you? I'll start with you, Mr. Carabine.
Well, before we get to me, we have a little message here from producer Peggy. She says, have a good show, everyone. I'm in Vegas for the week, but I'll be back next week. Thank goodness.
Oh, we thank God for that, because yes, we need sex appeal on this show. And it's not that the three of us aren't handsome.
And we've also got a message from our founder, Mr.
That is just unkind.
Peggy the Poser.
He's very unkind. That's uncalled for.
Yeah. Somebody ought to check somebody ought to check his show exit. You know,
I think so. Yourself,
be kind to others. I remember that. I don't remember much, but I remember
something
that.
Like that. Yeah. I don't know. I heard it in Spanish, I think, but I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. He doubled down on the niceness part. He did it bilingual style.
Oh, I see. He's clarifying. He says that he doesn't think she's a loser. It's Apple that does.
Well, I'm sitting in here working on a Mac. So guess what? We're going to say we love them.
Yeah. I'm working on a Peterbilt.
Anyways, you were asking me about Ty Majeski. You know, it's funny. You and I, Logan, off air, have talked a little bit about people peaking at the right time. And Ty Majeski gets his first win of the season, I believe. It's the first race of the playoffs. And I believe he came second last week as well. So certainly he's showing himself to be maybe one of the favorites for sure. He was in the final four last year for the Truck Series. And I don't know, does this warrant a look into the Xfinity Series next season? Do we think? I don't know. I'm not sure. What do you say, Colin? Maybe I'll pass it to you so I don't have to talk anymore.
I mean, Ty Majeski is one of the most talented race car drivers in the country. I mean, this man has won hundreds of short track races across the country. You know, he now has a handful of NASCAR Truck Series starts, not Truck Series starts, but wins rather. I mean, he's very talented, and he just needs to get a right opportunity for him to succeed. And in the Truck Series, he has that ride. He has one of the best rides in the Truck Series by far. If he wants to go up to the Xfinity Series, I think so. It's just who takes that shot on him. If anyone in the Xfinity Series loves short track racers and loves just racers in general, it'd be Dale Earnhardt Jr. I would say he could be a possible fill-in, a possible new driver for JRM after Josh Berry leaves that nine car. I think that'd be a very cool thing to see. But to what we saw on that Friday night, it was just domination by Ty Majeski. It's a short track. He probably has the most experience on short tracks in the entire field. He was in the best car, and it was just the stars aligned for Ty Majeski on Friday night. And he won in dominating fashion. So, I mean, he put his stamp as a championship favorite right now. He does go to the next round automatically, so he can chill out for the next couple of weeks. But if he just, you know, we have more short track races in the Truck Series playoffs. I think we have Martinsville coming up, and I believe we have Bristol as well coming up. So I mean, there's two more tracks where he can, you know, take his talents to Phoenix and obviously be in the championship fight later in the year.
Do you count Milwaukee as a short track? I think it's a mile, right? The Milwaukee mile, I guess.
It's a mile, but the banking is very, very flat. It's a better New Hampshire. I mean, he certainly can win there too. I mean, he does have experience racing at Milwaukee in the super late models, which is a different beast compared to the truck series, because those things are rocket ships compared to what he's driving now. So he can certainly win at Milwaukee. I wouldn't count him out of the question, but I think on the short track program, with Ty Majeski and Thor Sport, I think they're doing a great job right now, this entire 2023 campaign. So when we go to Bristol and Martinsville in a couple weeks, he's probably going to be the favorite in those races.
Nice. Yep.
All right. Am I back? Am I hosting? All right.
You're back.
Yeah, Ryan Hill. Good to see you. Nice to see you, Ryan. Nice to see you. I know you're ready for the NASCAR season to be over because Joey Logano is not having fun. But we're glad that you're here. Thanks for tuning in. We want to know your thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. We want to know your thoughts. What do you say? Is Ty Majeski now the favorite in your view for the Truck Series Championship? Let us know in the comments below. We'll get to each and every one of them as much as we can. Remember, give us a like, give us a share. We greatly, greatly appreciate that. We can promise you that your viewership is appreciated here just as much as it is everywhere else. Matt Marr says, it's good to see Ty Majeski get his feet under him in NASCAR and now considered a favorite for the title consistently, especially after his very underperformance in his early Xfinity starts a few years ago. You're right, Matt. And by the way, on a personal note, Mr. Marr, keep your DMs open. Keep your DMs open. Just letting you know.
Oh, my.
What could that possibly mean? Who's wearing the white hats and who's wearing the black hats? Don't worry about it.
Loganity is sliding into DMs like nobody's business. Producer Peggy's left town and he's in the DMs.
I didn't say I would be doing it. Colin could be doing it. Adam Caroline could be doing it. We'll see what happens.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Not words.
Could be. I didn't say would. But there's definitely could and would. Don't, all right, that's... Ty Majeski's always been my favorite for the championship, says Ryan Hill. Look, I mean, that's, I respect your loyalty, but if the fact that you're saying that he's more of a favorite than Corey Hyman, Zane Smith, to me, I just don't see it. I just don't. But that's just my opinion. You can tell me why you think.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Logan, like, I agree that you know, Zane Smith and Corey Hyman are probably the bigger favorites than him right now. It is about momentum sometimes, and he's got certainly that on his side right now. But I also, you know, consider this format of playoffs where it comes down to one final race, right? And Zane Smith's got some track record there for sure. You know, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, like a couple second places in a row and then finally finished first place last year. I'm just looking here. Ty Majeski finished 20th at Phoenix last year, even though he was in the final four. So, yeah, I don't know. Does that mean he doesn't perform well under that pressure? Or I can't remember what the race was like. I was there, but I don't remember. So,
well, it's all a blur when you're doing your gig. All right, we got to move it along. Xfinity Series, it was a Cup Series party. AJ Allmendinger got the pole, and then Ty Gibbs, he gets us a W. But the big story kind of coming out of it, because of the fact that it was the Cup Series party, as you so aptly named it in the script, Mr. Caroline, glad I didn't have to do that this week. But
there you go. Yeah.
The big story coming out of it wasn't the race. It was, he burned it down at the inopportune time. And he did. He did burn it down at the inopportune time. But I'm going to go ahead and take this one, ladies and gentlemen. Cut the kid a break. You bunch of boomers, get off the lawn. All right? Look, I'm not saying it was cool. It wasn't. But can we not give the kid a benefit of the doubt and go, maybe he was just kind of caught up in the moment? Because I'll tell you what, I've acted like a real Mick A-hole in the moment and went, well, I probably shouldn't have did that. You know, when I'm celebrating a big dub, or, I mean, when I'm turning off the PlayStation and going to bed, I just think that we're making too much hubbub about it. Much ado about nothing, as one Bill Shakespeare once said. I do love the Billy Shakespeare. Colin, any thought on that? You seem to see you gritting there. Come on now.
See, I don't see any problem with it. Why? I mean, the only problem is, I guess this comes from, is because people don't like Ty Gibbs for what he did last year. Because we have to all forgive our sins to Ty Gibbs now because he gets us. But I don't have a problem with it. I mean, he's young. He still kind of doesn't know better. I mean, I feel like it's a whole lot of people just yelling on Twitter for absolutely no reason. Did he have to do burnouts in front of the field and create a smoke screen that blocked visibility on the racetrack? Probably not. But, you know, could he have done the same thing on the front stretch? You know, it's whatever. It's just a story to create noise out of an Xfinity Series race that, you know, did not really live up to expectations that we've seen in the past of just this crazy race to the finish. We didn't get that when the Xfinity Series race this week. So hats off to Ty Gibbs winning in that 19 car, getting his, I think, first win of the of NASCAR so far in 2023. So good on for him for actually getting his first win of the year. But I mean, it was kind of just what, like I said, it was just kind of a meh race. It was kind of the least entertaining Xfinity Series races we've had all year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. Let us know your thoughts on the Xfinity Series. Also, by the way, I learned something new. You have to be in the Cup Series full-time for 3 years before the rule applies to you as far as driving only 5 races in the lower series. Did not know that. Learned that this week from BPOC himself of One Fox Sports. So, as always, a lovely Twitter follow there. All right, we got to keep moving. The Cup Series, Michael McDowell put a Michael Mick masterpiece on the class. I'll tell you, it was nuts. Won his second career race. What did he lead? 54 laps, I think. I mean, he was just incredibly dominant. How far front row has come is incredible to me. It was not that long ago. I mean, 2020 does feel like a lifetime ago, where we were seeing the praises of Michael McDowell and John Hunter Nemechek for battling for top 25s. Battling for top 25s, folks. And, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. And so for them to – Michael McDowell is now in – he's in the playoffs. And he did it in dominant fashion. And I did not have a front row motorsports dominant win on my 2023 bingo card. Colin, I'll start with you on this one. How about front row motorsports? How about Michael McDowell? Not only did they win, they put on a Martin Truex Jr.-esque performance in this road course and own this thing.
Yeah, I think it was for what that team does. And, you know, he was on Denny Hamlin's podcast to learn what they're doing without all the top tools that, you know, other Cup Series teams have, like the 2311s and the Gibbs and Hendricks, is really impressive. And he led 53 laps of the 80 that were turned at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway road course race. I thought he did a tremendous job. And now he's in the playoffs. And, you know, he hasn't run bad throughout this entire season. I think he can make it past the round of 16. I think he'll be around a 12 exit unless he doesn't step his performance up or the team doesn't do that. But to be honest with you, this was a very entertaining race. It was the lap traffic. It was Chase Elliott really tracking him down in the last couple of laps, because we all know what it means if Chase Elliott wins a race. It would knock Bubba out of the playoff race unless he doesn't get to win at any of the next two, knock Daniel Suarez out. It would certainly solidify this top 16 worth of drivers. And if we get to 15 drivers, it kind of sucks that Brad Keselowski and Kevin Harvick has had so much work that they put into the season, you know, great runs, being consistent, and they don't get the playoff result that they probably should have. So these next 2 weeks are going to be very interesting for the NASCAR Cup Series, especially going back-to-back road course races. Bubba Wallace is praying to the racing gods that Michael McDowell wins at Watkins Glen, because at Daytona, he has a really good shot to win that race. And if things don't go his way, it looks like it'll be Harvick and then Keselowski, you know, rounding out the top 16. So, This is what the playoffs created. This is the situation we're now in of the excitement, making the last two races of the regular season mean something, is of who's going to get in, who's not going to get in. It certainly drives up TV ratings for sure, but this is what the playoffs were meant to be, where McDowell can now play spoiler to 15 other guys, and he has a statistical probability that he can become the 2023 NASCAR Cup Series champion. I didn't see it at the beginning of the year, but he now has that probability where he can, and that makes this whole year so much more exciting.
Pretty incredible for what Front Row is doing, and Front Row is a beacon of light for all the underfunded teams and non-power teams that, hey, you if things get rolling your way and you have a couple of good years, you could change the game. Matt Maher had a good comment. He said, Michael McDowell may never win a championship, but he's won the hearts of every NASCAR fan in the world. Yeah, he is one of those. You know, this is going to be as cliche as the day is long, folks, but he truly is one of those guys easy to root for. How could you not kind of get caught up in that emotion when he won? You know, he dreamed of racing on that track and winning on that track, and he dreamed that in IndyCar, but to still do it in NASCAR, the emotion was extremely real. And you love to see it. And speaking of emotion, if you don't think the pressure is extremely real right now for all these drivers, take a look at Chase Elliott hopping out of his car last Sunday. He looked like me after going up a flight of stairs. He was fatigued. He was frustrated. It was not a good look. The pressure is very real. Matt says McDowell is running the top five and top 10 consistently in road courses over the past 2 to 3 years. It was just a matter of time to close one out, but no one expected that sort of dominance on Sunday. You're right. I thought this race, running order aside, there's a couple of ways to look at it. Let me make you both sides of the sandwich. From an entertainment value, I thought this was a great case for, man, we need stage breaks, because it did hit a bit of a lull there. Now, before you bring your pitchforks, gentlemen, the one thing that this provided that goes against stage breaks, in my view, is that top three running order, the drama was very real. I mean, Daniel Suarez may have won this race if it wasn't for a – That no good. But he has. But Daniel Suarez may have won this race if not for a costly pit stop. I'm sure the track house pit crew meeting was none too fun this week. Chase Elliott was right in there, as to be kind of expected for road courses. But let's keep in mind, folks, Chase Elliott has not been the same. I do level or T-Bell, but I have to get far too much food to actually fill myself up, so I don't like to go there. But let's keep in mind, Chase Elliott has not been the same on road courses on this car. Tyler Reddick seems to be the king of the road these days, even though that gentleman, and I know you like him, Adam, but that gentleman was almost old-school Kyle Busch-esque in the fact he finished fourth and looked like he was going to cry. Pathetic. Get it together. Enjoy your day. All right, top five's fine. Jesus.
Spoken as an LMC fan for sure, right there.
Is there anything? We count them for a reason. That's what this modder on NASCAR he tells me. Anywho, yes, it provided great drama. I will admit that. I will say that all day long. But from a pure entertainment standpoint, this was a race where, from an entertainment standpoint, we could have got far more calamity if we had stage racing. Adam Carabine, I'm going to come to you because I already know what Colin's going to say. what say you? Are we ready to throw the stage racing experiment out on road courses?
No, I don't think so. I'm not there yet. I will admit that was the third race I watched in a row, and I was not as engaged at that point. I was a little tired, and I was catching up on some sleep as well. So I was in and out watching the end of that. But I don't know. I think, you know, this is exactly what NASCAR wants with the playoffs, right? So you've got Michael McDowell followed by Chase Elliott and Daniel Suarez. All three are on the outside looking in at that point. And all three are great road course racers too, right? So I don't know. I think there is drama there even without stage breaks. And yes, there are different strategies and all that stuff. And it sucks for Daniel Suarez that his bad pit stop cost him a chance at that. But I don't know. Yeah, I'm not ready to give up on it yet. I'm willing to change my mind on that in the future, but I'm not willing to give up just yet. So
you will give it time. Colin, yeah. Go ahead and tell me why you think I'm wrong.
See, I think having no stages lets a race play out naturally. And I think one of the reasons why I would say this race was kind of different than what we've seen in the past is there was only one caution this entire race. Like last year, we had multiple people get into multiple incidents, and it really kind of prolonged the race, especially with in the last 10 where Joey Logano just kept dive bombing turn one. And the moving of the restart zone at this race kind of alleviated those turn one dive bombs, unless you're still Joey Logano, because he did that twice. But, you know, I am of a proponent where I don't want stage racing at any racetrack. You can still award stage points out at a given event, but, you know, Michigan and Pocono used to be races about fuel mileage, and that's what made those races sort of entertaining. That was sort of their gimmick. We knew Michigan was going to be on fuel mileage. We know Pocono is going to be fuel mileage. Now we don't get that anymore. And the unfortunate thing about it is, why do you kind of need a crew chief unless you're at a road course event? Because this is the only racetrack where strategy kind of plays into it. Because you're just racing till lap 130, then you're racing till lap, 274, then you just keep going up the ladder. So I'm of the proponent just removing stage races altogether. It would make NASCAR racing more about the on-track product versus a manufactured race for 3.5 hours. I've always been that guy where stages are just the stupidest thing NASCAR's ever done.
And I appreciate that opinion. Speaking of opinions, let us know what you think about stage racing and stage cautions in the comments below. Do you want them to stay? Do you want them to go? Let us know. We'll get into as many comments as we can. All right. So the cut line is, we've talked about that pretty much in depth. I'll tell you what I'd like to do, and I'm going to ask this. We're going to let you in on a production meeting, folks. In 2 weeks, I'd like to run down and do a bracket for in 2 weeks, 16, and make a ton of predictions. Are you gentlemen okay with that?
I think that'll be good. I'm sure we could, maybe talk about this offline, Logan, but that sounds like a great idea.
I can't get you scheduled a team meeting. So I do it when I can. I'm a multitasker. Mr. England, Big England, as he was once called, says the only thing he needs a break from is a toxic ex. Let the thing play out. And talk about taking a break. He moved all the way out to Cali. He's Tupac and Dr. Dre. Anywho, Mr. Carabine, tell us Mr. Best, tell us about Scott Dixon getting his first win of the year. Pretty incredible. An emotional moment. Scott Dixon is probably at the tail end of his career. Getting it done was pretty cool to see. Lay it on us.
Yeah, I think the Indianapolis Road Course race was, a pretty spectacular thing. This is sort of, I guess, the last time we'll ever see the IndyCar NASCAR doubleheader, which I think is a very sad time. We should always have both series come together on one weekend. But yes, he did extend to his 19th straight season. Scott Dixon has won a race. He now improves over Tony Kanaan in the most consecutive races ever run, 319 consecutive races, one above Tony Kanaan. He has now 54 career IndyCar wins, second only to A.J. Foyt at 67. That could be an interesting topic. Will he ever catch A.J. Foyt? I don't think so, but, it's one of these interesting things. But the race played out exactly how Scott Dixon probably wanted it to. He dominated the event pretty much from start to finish, and the only thing that we saw that paralleled the Cup Series race and the IndyCar race was that there was some gut person in second tracking down the leader, and it was Graham Rahal who finally got his best finish of 2023. It's been a very interesting high and low season for him. He didn't make the Indy 500. The only reason he ran the Indy 500 was because Stefan Wilson got hurt. He gets into the 500 field, and now he gets his career best finish. His career best finish at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in both events, either the oval or the road course. So for me, it was a fantastic race at Indianapolis, and the big story that we'll leave with IndyCar is Alex Palou now has a 100-point lead over Joseph Newgarden going into the with four races left to go and the IndyCar Series Championship. So can Alex Palou hold on while we go into the final oval race of the season at Gateway? Will Joseph Newgarden catch up? But it's sort of, you know, poetic that before we head out west, we do go through Gateway first to get there. So the next couple of weeks is going to be very exciting on the IndyCar Series calendar as the race for the championship heats up in the series. And, you know, I think this is the best series, motorsport series on the planet. Sorry, AJ. I think this has way more appeal than going in a straight line. But it's going to be very exciting to see. Can Alex Palou get his second NTT IndyCar Series championship? Can Joseph Newgarden go for three? We just have to see how the season plays out. But it's going to be a very exciting race to the finish.
No question about it. We do need to see how it's going to play out. And you're going to keep us up to date on that. And not only on this show, but also via the website, from what I've been told, when you get a chance.
Yep.
Mike Moore has a great comment. Stages should be done with. Let races play out naturally. Though I wouldn't be opposed for short track races having a caution after a certain number of green flag laps, like a number of late model series do. Either one of you gentlemen have any comments on that?
It's still a gimmick. It's still manufactured. The reason why we don't see cautions in the Cup Series anymore is, one, because the driver talent is so good from top to bottom. Two, these cars you really can't spin out under their own themselves. You can just drop a gear and go if you blow a corner. And three, the racing is so different than what we're used to with the old Gen 6 car. You have to literally fight. And I say drivers don't give each other respect, but to be honest, when's the last time in the past four races that we actually had a caution for an on-track product? For not for a manufactured caution, but an actual on-track product. You have to go back to Michigan, and the only reason those happened were because tire failures. So we're not seeing guys wreck each other or wreck out on their by making a mistake. We're seeing equipment actually fail that leads to a caution. So to me, keep the gimmicks away from NASCAR. If you want the sport to succeed, IndyCar does it with no stage cautions. There's no gimmick. You just line up and race. F1 has the sprint format, which is okay. It's whatever. But NASCAR is the only one that has to, you know, dumb things down for NASCAR, for racing fans. It's stupid. I hate it. We can go on for 2 hours, and I can do a PowerPoint presentation on why.
I hear you, and that would make some great off-season content. My quick rebuttal, then we got to move on, is this: I personally get rid of it. I'm not going to, like, you know, be upset. But yes, NASCAR is the only one that has to gimmick things up, but they are the most successful one in North America by far. So doing something right. You know, that there is an argument to be made for that. Anywho, you keep letting us know what you think in the comments, please. And with that, you know what that means? It's time to move it along to our get that clicker ready. Come on now. Come on.
We're skipping something here. We gotta quickly talk about NHRA. I know Colin dissed AJ here, but
my wrong.
I wanted to share a story in this here, so I didn't want to skip it. First of all, NHRA was in Kansas. I've written Kansas, Washington on the script. Isn't that nice?
Nice job.
No, it was just in the state of Kansas.
I got a call from him in Soggy, Kansas. Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. So Erica Enders won in Top Fuel, and Justin Ashley won. Oh no. I'm doing a terrible job today, you guys. I'm blaming jet lag, but I'm just gonna say Erica Enders won. So did Justin Ashley. Erica Enders was not in Top Fuel, but what I was trying to say is that Bob Tasca III won in Funny Car. And I will admit to everyone here on this show, as you know, I'm not super well-versed in NHRA drag racing, but I did cover a couple of drag races in my time. And I asked Bob Tasca III the dumbest question that you could ever ask. And he called me out on it in front of everyone in the press room. And when I see that name, it still brings me trauma. So there you go. That's my story. And now we can move on. Sorry.
Well, we'll find out off the air what that question was. So
isn't that bad, but here we go.
But with that, let's get to our happy hour headlines.
There we go.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Jason on Rainbow Boys.
That story was also a bit of a stall so I could get to the button on time, but yeah.
Hey, I do it all the time. For our first episode, I'm doing one of those because I accidentally X out my script, right? And you're telling me to move it along in the private chat, and I'm like, no, there's a purpose for this. Just let me do my thing. Now you're learning, not because you're getting a little seasoned. All right, SPG was released from his Supercar R's contract. It looks very likely at this point that he will be in NASCAR next season. I think we're going to see a deal where he's running, I think, mostly trucks or Xfinity, and then several Project 91 starts, and then I think probably full-time Cup Series 25. Adam, what say you to that? Is that your belief?
Yeah, there's some reports that Trackhouse is working on something with him. I've seen kind of some conflicting reports. Some say that, yes, you know, this is basically a done deal, and others saying that, like, you know, this has kind of become a last minute thing since he's come and had some success in NASCAR, and that Trackhouse might not be ready to field a third car for him next year. And I'm not sure. Are they going to be doing this without a charter, or are they going to try and somehow get a charter from somewhere? I'm not sure, but
that is why I think they're going to wait. This is not the time to be buying a charter. You want to see the media rights deal get done.
The only thing is, so, like, I guess right now we are not having completely full entry lists, right? Like, could they run a full-time entry in the 91 and have him on the rare races where there are more than 40 entries, try and qualify his way in, like, kind of old school days? I don't know, right? Like,
you could, but the money's just not there. It doesn't make viable sense as far as
it does if he's winning.
But right. The likelihood is he's not going to win,
right?
You know, what in the hell was that? We're live. We're live.
But anyways, he did have his first truck race this weekend as well, and he finished 19th there, which I think is a fairly respectable finish.
Yeah. First car lap down, yeah.
Nice Motorsports, and first, he said it was his first oval race ever. So I think it's great. I'm happy to have him. Anytime there are more people who want to participate in NASCAR, I think is better. So I'm all for it.
Agreed with that. My guess, they wait till 25 to push him full time so they can acquire a charter, because business models change a lot year to year in NASCAR, and Trackhouse will be able to put their hands on even more money, especially as he alludes to it anyway, that Pitbull says as time goes on, he's going to get more and more back involved. Mm-hmm. Colin, any thoughts on SVG?
I don't want to start an argument, because there's no really reason to. I agree with Adam. I see, you know, truck and Xfinity series trying to get, you know, his feet wet and then go to the Cup Series in 25. To be honest with you, I really don't think he needs a charter. The only time you ever really need a charter is for the Daytona 500, when you actually see an entry list more than 40. And when you see an entry list for the 500 this year, it was 42 cars, so two people went home. So can SVG somehow miraculously race his way in at the duels? Absolutely. And every other event, he's going to just qualify in, and he'll be the at-large car, and then you'll hear Fox and NBC talk. It's like, oh, my gosh, he qualified in and out-qualified everybody on the track. That's what they're going to do, and they'll talk about it. It'll be very stupid. But to me, my thoughts on it, you know, on Twitter, he kept saying he had fun, even during the race, even running in 19th, 20th place. He said he was having fun. He's having the time of his life. And, you know, he raced just as how I expected him to. He didn't do anything too flashy. Each lap was a learning lap for him. And he came home, he actually finished the race, which I think was a win for him. So I'm looking forward to seeing him more and more in the NASCAR world. I hope he does great. He's the younger generation's Marcus Ambrose. That's exactly what he's going to be. The only thing is, he actually has a car that can actually bring him wins rather than what Marcus Ambrose had back when he was in the 9 car. So for me, all in all, I love more people, international drivers, coming to NASCAR. I think this is what Project 91 started. Let me look at the entry list for the Cup Series race. We had 5 guys from different countries, different disciplines in motorsport come to the IndyCar, to come to the NASCAR race. The more we get that, I think, the better we get. And, you know, this is about, this time is as good as right now. NASCAR needs to go international. Project, the Garage 56 car really pushed this over the mountaintop. NASCAR is hot globally right now. I know we probably might be going to Montreal, but I would love to see a Mexico City race, Germany, wherever we want to go. I think NASCAR would absolutely crush it.
That'd be cool.
I think we'll get there.
I did want to add, sorry, just you know, some extra praise for SVG. He not only finished 19th, but he qualified 28th. So, you know, maybe not the best qualifying effort, but basically first time in the truck, and to go through that race and make his way up to 19th, I think, you know, kudos. It's great.
No, I mean, all opinions aside on SVG in next year or 25, you couldn't be less than thrilled if you were a Nice Motorsports and Trackhouse with that performance. But Matt Maher makes a great point. Pull that comment up for me one more time, please.
Oh, yes.
He said, I mean, technically, yes, they could run a full World Cup schedule without a charter, but they won't make as much money doing so. The purse is better designed for those with a charter to begin with. That's my point, is that, yes, can it be done? Sure, absolutely it could. But you will inherently take less money, and why would a business take less money just because? I mean, especially when you're a newer team like Trackhouse. This is not Hendrick Motorsports. So yeah, that's what I think they have a stopgap year where he's a part-time Xfinity truck and, you know, and does several, probably even more Project 91 starts than this year. I mean, I could see up to even like 10, but I think it's a stopgap year to find a charter. You know, we don't know what the future of someone like Live Fast Motorsports is. The climate of the business changes all the time, so we don't know where everyone's going to be a year from now. With the economic uncertainty the U.S. is facing, we don't know where that'll all play out a year from now.
Well, there's still that agreement between between NASCAR and the owners as well. Mm-hmm. There haven't been much headlines about that lately, but that could change things too. So.
And I think that goes to even why, not to get on a tangent, but that's why. Dale Jr. isn't jumping in right now because there's just so much uncertainty. And plus, people are throwing around the prices of like $30 million for a charter. It just keeps climbing.
That's too much.
I'd love to see NASCAR in Australia at the Thunderdome. Super cool D-shaped oval. They actually went once in the 80s. It looked like a mix of Charlotte and Old Atlanta. I'm all for more foreign races. I think anytime you expand your market is a good thing for a sport, period. And that's not new in the U.S. We see football trying to go European and down to Mexico. Baseball, they did a Mexico series earlier this year. They're trying very – every sport is trying to expand their footprint here in the U.S. I think it's good. Final thought on the charter talk for a second, just to put in perspective, the rumors are being floated around $30 million. I believe Petty sold his to Gallagher for $19 at the time. So they keep on climbing. Anywho, we got to keep on moving. And so speaking of Petty in some way, shape, or form, Noah Gregson and Legacy Motor Club parted ways. We talked, Colin, at length last week about what this would mean for his future and what could or should or might not happen. And then the next day or two, they, Legacy Motor Club and Noah, made it official for us. What happened was they released a joint statement saying that Noah requested his release.
And I've got the statement here if you want me to read it to you, actually.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, Gregson said, I have asked Legacy Motor Club to release me from my contract so that I can take time to work through the NASCAR reinstatement process. I love racing, and I am looking forward to a second chance to compete for wins at the highest level of NASCAR, and most importantly, make my family, my team, and the fans proud of me once again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this statement, in my opinion, it's not that I don't believe in Noah Gregson, I do, but I think this was a save face move on the team's part. If anyone has checked social media, they've been getting eaten alive. Ryan says Noah's been checked out since March. I don't disagree with that, because Noah made the comment. Now, granted, it turns out he was freshly concussed, but he said that he was counting down the days to the off season. And when you say that in the middle of like June or whatever it was, that's mm-hmm. just not a good look. Nothing great was ever achieved via negative thinking. So yeah, I think there is a point to say he was checked out. He even said that missing a race wasn't that big of a deal to him. I'm paraphrasing, because look at where we're finishing. So I do think there's a point to that, but I do think this statement was a safe face move by the team, because opinions aside, I don't want to say the vocal majority, but there's certainly a vocal portion of the fan base that has been eating Legacy Motor Club alive. They can't make a post without getting, told to be Bud Lighted, as it were. So I think this was a safe face statement to try and be like, see, it's Amblecool and it's cool. And I think it probably is. But the reality was the John Hunter Nemechek rumors had started, and Noah Gregson was having the worst rookie season in recent memory. And so it just, as it turns out, it just never felt like a great fit for whatever reason.
Well, and if you consider where he came from last year too, right? Like, finished second in the championship standings.
Won four in a row at one point. I mean,
yeah, incredible. Had a great season at Junior Motorsports. And I mean, I do sometimes like to poke fun at you for your LMC fandom, but you know, this is not a dig at you. Yeah. It's just it's a step down in equipment for sure. And yeah, it's gotta be frustrating to go from, you know, winning, being in contention to possibly win four or five in a row to like, you know, being way in the back.
The top 20.
Now I don't respect necessarily like throwing in the towel because of that. I think, you know, that's what you signed up for. You got to know that it's not going to be the same quality as Junior Motorsports, but yeah, I don't know. I could see, I guess, a little bit from his perspective that it's got to be a tough year coming from, you know, competing for the championship to not at all.
But yeah, those numbers are why, and then we'll move it along. Those numbers are why I'm not on the he's not that talented train. He's had one half a year in a Cup Series in a team that the 43 crew chief admitted they are getting absolutely nothing from Chevrolet since the move to Toyota. They are getting nothing, not the bare minimum. They're getting nothing. They said, Dave said, we get our simulator time and that's about it. And he said that on XM radio. So when you consider that he made two straight Final Fours and he won four in a row and eight races overall last year, I'm not on the Noah Gregson has no talent train. I think he's a young goofball that doesn't see the forest through the trees, but he can be molded like a piece of clay. I'm not on the he's an idiot train. He's just a young goofball, and I think he's got talent. And I hope he gets a second chance, and I hope he learns from this. All right, we got to keep moving. We'll see what happens with the 42 car in the future. I'm working on an article as we speak that I plan to finish tonight and send to Adam for editing. Just speculating on who could take over for the two. Yes, John Hunter looks like the favorite. But what if he were to say no? Let's keep that in mind. So, anywho, keep an eye on that. So the Indy road course ratings are down, but it was preempted by football in some markets. I don't know if that plays such a major issue. Matt Marr says $30 million for a charter kind of explains why the amount of sponsorship money to stay competitive is so important. Having a Fortune 5 company nowadays is almost a necessity. Absolutely, 100%. I think in a year or two it levels off, right? The next-gen car will make it cheaper. But right now, it's not doing that at the moment. Matt Marr says he's not surprised Chevy is not committed to supporting a team with switching manufacturers, especially when you announce it partway through the season. Yeah, I mean, I guess in retrospect, they should have blindsided him. But there is something to be said that that's technically more professional to let him know way up front and kind of rip the Band-Aid off. At least that's what Gallagher suggested in the press conference. So we'll see what happens there. As far as the Indy road course ratings, people want to see the Brickyard, and that's what we'll get next year. And this is no disrespect to the quality or lack thereof of the road course, but people want to see the Indio. People want to see the Indio. And next year should be a big celebration. 30 years since the OG Brickyard 400, Jeff Gordon won it. We should have a huge celebration and go back to the Oval. I'm fine if we even rotate. I really am, but this idea of three straight years without the Oval is just silly. Colin, I saw you shake your head. I don't want them to rotate. I'm saying if that is what they have to do to make themselves happy, because we're road course happy in this era. It I could live with that. Ryan says, hot take. Indy has lost its star power, whether RC or Oval. Indy is only great for the Indy 500 anymore. Waits for Logan to lose his mind. You're out your skull piece. No, if you put those cars on the Oval next year for the 30th anniversary of the Brickyard 400 and more one of the meccas of motorsports, to say that it has no prestige is just delusional. It's just delusional. It is. It's just delusional.
He's right.
I got news for you, Ryan.
He's right.
Logan lost his mind a long time ago.
Of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most.
What is the best memory that you can remember from a Brickyard 400?
I think it's just kissing the bricks, to be honest with you.
But that's just a symbolic gesture that everyone does now, from Indy 500 to NASCAR to when IMSA runs there. Everyone kisses the bricks.
Everyone does. But you know where it was invented? On NASCAR. Thank you, Dale Jarrett.
Yeah, so sit what? Down. It hasn't been good since the 90s.
Sit down.
It hasn't been good. The 2009 Brickyard 400 killed that event. No, it's done. It won't ever come back.
It's not about it being good.
It doesn't. Are you telling me? Hold on. Are you telling me that if the race isn't good, it doesn't matter?
When it comes to a certain track like that, yes. When it comes to the quote unquote crown jewels, it's not what it's about. It's more based on history and the special and the prestige. That's why Monaco shouldn't go anywhere. The Monaco race stinks, but it's too tied to the schedule to get rid of it.
I'm an F1 fan, and I don't care if Monaco goes away. The
race sucks. Colin, you have this weird thing where you don't see the value in nostalgia or old things.
What? We just sat through in 2023 a race where we went to North Wilkesboro, and that race sucked.
Colin, the moment I realized that you don't care about nostalgia at all is when you told me off air that AEW, WCW, WWE Legend Sting sucks and he's old as shit. And at that moment, I realized this guy doesn't care about nostalgia in the way that most people do.
If Sting was headlining All In, I would not pay $60 to buy a ticket to
see. That's not my point. My point is there is value to what is old and traditional. And it doesn't need to be all the time. Doesn't need to be all the time, but NASCAR stupidly took away a crown jewel. In what world do you take away a crown jewel?
It lost the crown jewel moniker after the Odin.
We only ever started debating the crown jewel validity after they went to the road course.
The fans left. They did not sell out anymore. Now you can blame that on a couple of reasons. I'll give you credit. You can blame that on the recession. You can blame that on the track, but fans did not show up. The Brickyard 400 was moved multiple times to different dates to get that fan base back to Indianapolis, and they don't. And you want to know how you can tell that Indianapolis sometimes isn't important? Is they'll get 200,000, 300,000 people to the Indianapolis 500, and those people won't come back for the IndyCar road course race. They just don't.
I hear you. I just don't care. When you stick it on the Oval to suggest it's not a historical or important race. Ryan says it's not a crown jewel anymore, Logan. It's a very boring race. The Indy 500 tears out yearly. The brick house. It's not about the fans. That doesn't make it a crown jewel. That's not what it's about.
Fans make the Indy 500.
If that is the case, then give me this. Was Darlington always a crown jewel?
It was the Darlington is the oldest, one of the oldest tracks on the circuit.
Answer the question, yay or nay.
No, it wasn't.
That is the biggest load of horse maneuver I've ever heard. It has been a crown jewel. It will stay a crown jewel. I don't care if there's only two fans sitting in the stands. It is still Darlington.
We brought back the Southern 500, but for the longest time, we never had it. It died. The Southern 500 died, and then they brought it back when NASCAR was like, hey, let's do the Labor Day race because we're going to take Atlanta away from Labor Day, and now we're going to install traditions back in the sport.
It will – if you put them on the Oval, the 30th year of the Brickyard, it's the Oval. If those walls could talk because I'm not that crazy because everyone will tell you what win at Daytona, even the night race, means more than just a little bit extra because it's Daytona, right? Everybody will tell every NASCAR fan will tell you that the Daytona night race means a little extra than your average race because it's Daytona.
I'll because we're running up on time because we're approaching an hour. But here's what I'll say: Chase Briscoe won the IndyCar race, won the NASCAR Xfinity Series race the first time they went to the road course, and he said it himself, an Indiana boy like Chase Briscoe, that it's great to win in Indianapolis, and I'll give you that. It is great to win in Indianapolis, but it's different than winning on the oval compared to the road course.
Well, yeah, I don't like the oval. I don't like the road course, pardon me.
But the Brickyard 400 is no longer a crown jewel.
Oh,
it hasn't been since 2009.
Stick it on the oval, and it is. And Matt, we were talking the 500-mile race, at least in my head. Southern 500, I don't care if they're having down years or not, and they went through a stretch there when they thought about that it was over for good until Kurt Busch, Ricky Craven. But it was always a crown jewel because it's the Southern 500. The Brickyard 400 is a crown jewel, period, the end. It's etched in the legacy.
This, I'm going to quote the great MJF and say, nostalgia is a drug that misconstrues our memories. Okay. When I was 7 years old, seeing cars go around the Brickyard on TV, that's awesome. But you have to be an entertaining product for 3.5 hours to be a good race. Now, Kansas is a good race because there's passing. But Indianapolis, for what it is for stock cars, is a one-lane racetrack where there's no passing at all.
Not every race is going to be the most entertaining. If you had 10 Super Bowls, it sucked, it would still be the Super Bowl. Only NASCAR's held to this ridiculous standard. All right, we got to keep moving.
I stepped away for a minute just to let you guys go at it. I felt like, you know, as the Canadian, I'm going to not get involved. But
I love you, Logan.
I hope you guys are okay.
Yeah. Love you too.
But you're wrong.
That's all right.
Here's the question. Here's the question.
The Super Bowl.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
We have not run the next gen car on the Indy Oval yet. Does that provide perhaps an opportunity for something a little bit more exciting? Do we think? Is there?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's worth a try.
It will bring some excitement around, but just one race. If that race does not perform, it's done. It no matter what, people are not going to accept. It's like, oh, there could be changes made to the car. Once the 2009 Brickyard 400 happened, where we couldn't even run 10 laps on a green flag run because everyone's tires exploded, it killed it. Why does F1 not go back to IndyCar or Indianapolis? Because the tire problems at Indianapolis killed it. So Indianapolis Motor Speedway has killed two series events there, and just one of them still remains. And it's holding on life support right now.
Well, with that,
y'all don't value history and tradition. It's really a shame. I hope you go and visit your grandparents on occasion, for God's sake. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised if they bring it back next year. And I think we're going to get it back next year. We'll see what happens.
I think
the Brickyard is going to resurrect, baby. I really do. Go ahead.
I think it'll be back next year for the Oval. I'm not sure if it'll stay, but we'll see.
Oh, it's going to stay. Stay positive.
Hey, listen, we're running out of time here. I love to hear you guys argue, but we're going to move on to our weekend preview.
All right.
And I took over hosting for a second because my hand was ready on the button. I wanted to, you know, be ready. Take it away, Logan. What do you got?
Well, I got a migraine. So the trucks are off this weekend. Xfinity Cup are at the Glen. Can you give me an Xfinity pick, Mr. Best?
I'm going to go John Hunter Nemechek.
Hey, that might be all right. I'm going to go Kyle Busch. You know, he's newly entered into the
he's driving 10 the 10,
car.
Right?
Yeah, he's in the 10 car because Allmendinger's reached his limit. So, yeah, we're going to go one rowdy, hope not, Busch. So,
wow.
We'll say that. And then how about NHRA? Talk to me, Adam.
They are headed to Minnesota, Brainerd, Minnesota. I'll have you know. I have no idea where that is, but that's where they're going to be this weekend.
That's where the founder's going to be.
Yeah.
Ryan says Kyle Busch and then anyone but Chase in Cup. Well, it is the Glen. He's got a theoretical chance at it.
He's got more than a theoretical chance.
So, I mean, Glenn, he's got a shot, boys. But Ryan says he's okay with taking Indy off the schedule. Great, Ryan. That's great.
Thank you.
All right. So, Mr. Carabine.
Yeah.
Go ahead and update us on the picks. Go ahead and hit the graphic.
Here we go. Racing refresh picks. It's time. So we had a couple of legal picks from Colin and Peyton last week, as we alluded to in our intro segment there. It's not entirely your guys' fault. I don't think there's some cheating going on here. I think it was just a lack of info. So
I don't know why I'm debating with people that can't even make proper picks in a game.
So instead of what you guys tried to pick, which was you tried to pick people that you had already picked this season, Colin, I gave you the number 51, Andy Lally, and I gave producer Peggy Ty Dillon. And yeah, so that meant that Logan wins. He picked Austin Cindric, which is, did anyone see that coming as a win this year? Nicely done, sir. So I am sorry I did not prep the graphic to be the updated standings, but it is now a tie at the top with Logan and Peyton, tied with 8 wins this season. I've got 5 and Colin's got 3. So Colin, we need to really step it up here. So
look, folks, one thing you'll quickly find out about me, and they find out every single week that we do this show, is I've never been wrong. I thought I was wrong once, checked it out, and I was right.
All right. So, Colin, you get to pick first this week. Who you got for the Glen?
Make sure they're legal.
Well, it's hard because I don't really have a surefire win. But I got to take this guy at some point, and I know he's so bad. But I'm going to take the 10 of Eric Almirola.
At a road course, wow!
Man, crazier things can happen. I mean, it's I'm as confident as Logan thinks the Brickyard 400 is a crown jewel event.
Wow, that's very confident.
Yeah.
No, Kyle. Let me tell you something about when it comes to my opinion on the Brickyard 400. I don't think I know. I'm just showing the rest of the world.
Let me just double check here. Yes, you have not picked Almirola yet. So that is a completely legal pick. Very good, Colin. Producer Peggy has told me that she is taking Daniel Suarez, which is a good pick as well. I think, honestly, he's in a must-win situation here. And he's good at road courses, so that's interesting. I am going to pick next. Well, it's not that I'm just going to. I am next. And I have not picked Chase Elliott yet. I've been circling this date on the calendar, so I am taking Chase Elliott. I don't know if he's going to win, but I hope that he's going to do the best out of our 4 picks. Mr. Luganity, who are you taking?
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to get it right. I'm just playing, ladies and gentlemen. You know I love you. Have I taken Ross Chastain yet?
You have not.
Give him to him.
Okay, there you go. You'll have to tune in next week and see how we all did, and see if Logan proves the moniker of being always right. I don't know about that, but
it's cursed, really. Yeah. It's cursed. I don't want to do it. Somebody's got it.
Anywho, there you go. That's our racing refresh picks.
Racing refresh pickies. All right, that means it's time, Adam, for closing time.
That was almost karaoke the way we timed that. That was nice.
they call me Mr. Peace and Harmony.
But don't mess with me. We have a comment from Kyle Busch, and he just says cup.
I like red solos. I like green. What about you, Kyle? Let me know.
I am going to assume that's not the Kyle Busch, but you never know. Maybe he's watching. You know,
if that's so, he loves his, what is that, a truck? Yeah, that's big league. Maybe he's got a heart like a truck, as Laney Wilson once said.
Maybe.
All right, Colin Best, any final words? I don't know whether to give them to you because you've been rolling so much on this show, but
In news that every day we stray further and further away from God, Lego, you know, the company who makes Eggo, the company who makes frozen waffles, and Sugarlands Distilling Company has paired together to make Eggo, brunch in a jar, sipping cream. They say, quote, between the juggle of constantly changing schedules, household errands, family outings, or busy work days, it can often feel impossible for parents to find moments that they can savor for themselves. Eggo brunch in a jar makes it easy for parents to kick back when they're not caring for their little ones. So whether parents want to punch up a weekend brunch or savor some of those classic brunch flavors during their downtime, this feel-good Eggo-inspired liqueur is that perfect treat. It contains 20% alcohol by volume, and you must be over 21. And National Waffle Day is August 24th. Every day we stray further and further away from God, and we do live in inside the darkest timeline. Logan, back to you.
You know, I don't drink at all. Like, I am so teetotaler. But I'd almost give that a daggum shot.
You seen the fire suit?
It's the sexiest looking fire suit I've ever seen.
Yeah, I just pulled it up here.
Oh god.
Whew.
I mean, if that doesn't trip your trigger, you need to check your engine and give it some gas.
My goodness. Lego my ego.
You know. With that, Adam Carabine, welcome back to Racing Refresh Happy Hour. Emphasis on happy because I'm just a joyful soldier.
Yeah.
Mr. Carabine, any final words?
It's good to be back, kids. I've missed you. Even though you guys got into a big of a fight today, it's nice to be back. And I'm looking forward to this playoff push these next 2 weeks, and looking forward to what the playoffs have in store for us. So,
it's not a fight when I'm right.
It's like looking at the mirror.
I'm gonna stop mentioning it because it keeps just getting worse and worse. Let's just, when you're feeling mad, just look at this and how could you be mad, right?
And I'll reply to Matt. I'm not gonna ship you anything if you can't spell my name right. It's literally right. It's really right there. Yes. There you go.
Yeah, a little Chase Race-a-lot. That's still better than
you missed the second L. There, that's okay. Yeah. But, you know what?
No, no.
Colin's got enough L's in our race and refresh pick.
Matt, how do you miss the second L? How do you miss the second L? I just gave him one. I gave him the greatest L this show's ever seen in any formation.
Listen, we have to wrap this up.
With that, my final words are: you folks deserve me, and I'm so grateful that each and every one of you tune in. I love you as much as you love us, and probably a little bit more. Well, I can understand, Matt, with the losses that Colin's taken. I mean, he's getting beat around like a lotto ball over here. All right, you want to talk Mega Millions. Anywho, you folks deserve me. Thank you so much for watching. Give us likes, give us shares, follow our page. Great content coming your way. I got something cooking for the website because there's an excuse to write about Legacy Motor Club. I will. Adam Carabine is back until some sort of band thing.
Who knows?
Good to have you home, brother.
Yeah, it's good to be home.
Good to have you home. Good to have
all right.
You. All right.
You need to watch Logan lose more. Just tune back in next Wednesday.
That's not true. Can you pull up that scoreboard? Anywho, thank you so much for tuning in. God bless each and every one of you. We'll see you next week. We break down all the action of a non-Watkins Glen race where the Vortex Theory will win again. Promise you.
Promise they don't race in the rain anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It's going to win again. I'll see you next week. I love y'all.